All right, this morning we are in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 6. And this is part of the Sermon on the Mount. I don't think we've actually ever looked at this specific passage before. Maybe we did a few years ago. I didn't preach on it. But this is God's word to you and me today as we look at the peace that we have through relationship with Jesus. And he speaks to that here. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. What you eat, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not so much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Heavenly Father, speak to us today. Meet us in the midst of our own worries and our stresses and anxieties. And help us, God, to know Jesus Christ, who gives us peace. Help us to know that peace, Lord, that comes from you. Deeply in our lives. So speak to us today through this passage and through this message. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So today we're continuing our sermon series called Believe. Part 3 of this series that we're currently in wraps around this question, who am I becoming? Who is God shaping you to be? For those of you reading in the Believe books, and a lot of you are doing that, reading a chapter each week. Some of you may have plowed through the whole thing, I'm not sure. But a lot are reading a chapter each week as each chapter goes with each Sunday. I want to let you know that we'll be veering off course from the order of chapters in the book here shortly. Next Sunday will be the next chapter, just as planned, which is on self-control. Then when we get to Maundy Thursday during Holy Week, we're going to have the message that evening be in the sermon series. And it's going to be on patience, which is skipping ahead a week. And then when we get to Resurrection Sunday, we'll come back to the week on hope. We'll focus on that chapter and that theme. So those 2 weeks, patience and hope, will be out of order. And then we'll continue on for the last few as they come in the book. So today we're looking at the peace that Jesus gives us, which stands in contrast to the worry and anxiety that so many people experience. We read about it some here. Paul famously writes in Philippians, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends or passes, oftentimes it's translated, all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus." These two verses are ones that many of us know, especially the second one, which is just the second sentence there. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Many Christians know, have that verse memorized, or know at least that key phrase of it, that the peace of God passes all understanding. We've got that buried deep in our hearts. And yet so many people, including Christians, do not live into that kind of peace. Instead, we have all kinds of inner turmoil, worry, which Jesus speaks to a lot in the passage we just read a moment ago, anxiety, stress, and so forth. These are all kind of related, of course. In fact, I'm going to go out on a limb and guess that most of us here this morning have things in our lives that cause a lack of peace, that they bring stress and anxiety and worry. Raise your hands if you have ever felt stressed out or worried or concerned about something. Like almost every hand is going up. There's like 3 of you that are lying in church today. And we have all felt those kinds of things. Okay, this includes me. Just this last week, I was stressed out and worried and had a serious lack of peace about writing a sermon on being peaceful. There you go. I'm just kidding. Of course, if you really want to test God, if you really want to test God in this area of having peace that passes understanding, the best thing you can do to test God about peace in your life is to raise children, right? Raising kids will test your sense of peace as well as your patience and your kindness and your goodness and your gentleness and your self-control. A lot of the fruit of the Spirit got tested when we're raising kids, because some of the things that kids do are beyond understanding. God gives us the peace that passes understanding. Kids test that. Amen? It's like the little girl who one day was sitting and watching her mother do the dishes at the kitchen sink. She suddenly noticed that her mom had several strands of gray, white hair sticking out stark against the dark brown of her natural color of her hair, or what she always had had. She looked at her mom and said, "Mom, why are some of your hairs white?" And her mom said, "Well, every time you do something that is wrong or makes me cry or unhappy or that I worry about, well, one of my hairs turns white." The little girl thought about this for a moment, and she said, "Mom, how come all of Grandma's hairs are white?" When I was younger, before I had kids, I had a full head of very blonde hair up until my kids were born. And now look, in fact, I cut it really short last night, like not as short as I used to even have, but longer than it was up until last night at about 9 o'clock. Used to have a full head of blonde hair, and I got gray now, and it's all happened in the last few years. But whether you're raising children or not, there is plenty in life that causes us to worry and seeks to steal, to take away the peace, this peace that passes understanding, this peace that God gives us, that we have with Christ. But there is a peace. We can have this in the midst of the challenges that we face in life. It doesn't have to be stolen. And this morning's statement of faith that comes to us from the Believe book puts it well. It is this: I am free from anxiety because I have found peace with God. And it starts there, okay? Peace with others and peace with myself. So we're going to dive in to this passage and talk about this. So today's passage begins with a therefore from Jesus. It's in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, actually two-thirds of the way. Tells us Jesus is summarizing something. Obviously, therefore is connected to what came before as he goes forward. And what he's summarizing is not completely clear. It could be summarizing everything he said in the Sermon on the Mount so far. But this comes about, this statement comes about two-thirds of the way through the Sermon on the Mount. So not really at the point of concluding yet, a little bit early for that. So more likely it's simply connected to the more immediate teaching that came right before it, part of which was on money. Isn't money the source of an awful lot of worry and anxiety? Even people who have a lot of money are stressed out because, let's be honest, we don't always spend it wisely. Money causes a serious lack of peace in a lot of people's lives, including those who have what would seem to be more than enough. So let's touch base on this briefly, since today's passage flows right out of this topic. If you back up into verse 19 of chapter 6, if you have your Bibles with you today, I encourage you to open them up. We'll have some verses on the screen here as well. Verse 19 and following, just here's some excerpts from it. "Do not store up treasures on earth, but rather treasures in heaven, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." How many of you are familiar with this verse? You've heard this before, right? Many of us have. The treasures of earth are only temporal. They don't last, and you can't take them with you. We touched on that some last when we talked about joy, about what brings us joy in life. So what is your treasure in, or what is treasure in heaven? Well, in some ways, Jesus doesn't explicitly say. He gets to it in a little bit in today's passage, but he doesn't actually say treasure in heaven is, you know, fill in the blank. He doesn't fill in that blank. So that's what he says here in verses 19 to 21. He touches on money briefly. Then in 22 and 23, he uses a metaphor of a lamp and a light that we see as a way to talk about what lights our way in life. Okay, what brings light into our life, what brings goodness and so forth. And then in verse 24, Jesus returns to the money theme. You can't serve two masters. And he specifically points to people's efforts to serve God and money. That rather than letting our money serve us, we end up serving our money. We become a slave to it. Now, in our day, this loses some of its power, this idea of only having one master. The closest thing most of us will ever have to a master here on earth is our boss. Or if you have kids, to come back to that, and things have gotten turned around upside down in your home, you might feel like your kids are the ones that you serve, that they are your master or your boss. It's like the two kids going home from school one day, and one of them said, you know, I am really worried. My dad works 12 hours a day to give me a nice food and home and so forth. My mom spends the whole day cleaning and cooking for me. I am worried sick. And the other kid said, what have you got to worry about? Sounds like you got a maid. And the first kid said, what if they try to escape? You know, who is the boss in that house? Now, it's perfectly possible to work for one boss at one job and then have another boss at another job. People do that all the time. People have more than one job. You've got two masters, you might say. Sometimes more than two jobs even. So some people do have multiple bosses. I think that's about as close as we can come to understanding this in this day and age, in our work setting, or maybe there's some other setting you're familiar with. But in their day, if a person became a slave or a servant to someone, and this is sometimes voluntary, this isn't always like when we see this talk about slaves and servants, it's not just, you know, our mind goes to back to our American roots and stuff. It's not always like that in their culture. Sometimes it was, but not always. Okay, if you were a servant in a home, it wasn't just a part-time gig. It wasn't even just full-time 40 hours a week. It was 24/7. You literally could not have one master and another. You couldn't. It was impossible. You did not have time to do that. And so the point of all this, the point of what Jesus is making here is that we cannot serve both God as our master and serve money or anything else for that matter. If God is our master and our Lord and has command of our time, our talent, and our wealth, if our treasures are stored in heaven and with him rather than in stuff here on earth, it is impossible to serve something else as well as our master. And if money becomes our master and we're living for it, then we cannot fully live for God. In fact, the Bible calls this idolatry. And then Jesus sums it up in verse 25 when he says, therefore, in other words, in light of what I've just said to you, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Have peace about this stuff because God will take care of you. Birds don't worry about that stuff. Flowers don't worry. And oh, by the way, you can't even add an hour to your life by worrying about it anyway. In fact, we know now from medical studies that worrying about this and stress and anxiety takes away from your life. It shortens it. Does the exact opposite. So what's the point? So, you know, what's the point of worrying? So how do we have peace? How do we have peace? Is it by running after everything that the world values and claims will bring it to us? More of this, bigger that? No. In contrast to running after all the things that the world has to offer, which Jesus delineates in verses 26 through 32, Jesus then says to instead first seek our Heavenly Father's kingdom and his righteousness. And then the rest of the stuff that we need for our daily living will be given to us. This is our treasure in heaven. This is how we store it up, by seeking after God first and trusting in him, not in all these other things. When we keep our focus on God and not on the earthly stuff, such as our wealth and our possessions and so forth, then first of all, those things, they lose power over us. They don't become as important. They aren't as interesting. And then second of all, God will provide that stuff and take care of it for us. So if there is something worth worrying about, it's our relationship with God as we seek him first. But Jesus doesn't want us to worry about that either. He doesn't want us to worry at all. He wants us to just live into our relationship with God. Now, Doug does beg the statement, not really a question, beg the statement, having peace is nice, but it's hard to do, right? I mean, isn't that kind of the natural response? Like, yeah, I'd love peace in my life. But golly, I'm really struggling with it right now. I got stuff that's worrying me and that's bothering me and stuff that's causing me great concern. In our family this last week, I'll just share with you off the cuff here a little bit. It's in the bulletin if you saw the prayer request. Gwen's dad, my wife's dad, my father-in-law, was diagnosed with a pretty large brain tumor this last Monday. Wednesday, actually, when it finally all got confirmed. And he's having brain surgery this Thursday. Okay, so, you know, in the midst of life, there's stuff that brings us stress and causes worry and so forth. And we're heading down after the second service today to go be with him and Gwen's sister, who's come over from Spokane to be with him right now also. So having peace is hard in the midst of life. And we say, I want peace, and God gives it, but how do we actually live into it? Is it so hard that we should just throw in the towel and call it quits because worrying and anxiety are just too difficult to escape? I mean, every single one of us has experienced worry and anxiety in our lives. And it comes regularly with all kinds of stuff. Should we just throw in the towel? And Jesus says, no, absolutely not. In fact, I believe that your worry and anxiety, it can either consume you or it can be the catalyst that God uses to draw you closer to him, trusting in him even more. Your anxiety and your worry can actually maybe not draw you, but can push you, can push you closer to God and remind you that he cares for you. There was once a little old lady who is a great example of turning to God in times of stress and anxiety. And as I was going over this message in my office this morning, my daughter Haley was there listening. She said, Dad, I think you shared that story before in church. I'm like, oh, really? So maybe I have, maybe I haven't. I don't know. I did a quick search. I didn't find it in any of my sermons, but maybe I have. So she'd come out every morning on the porch of her house, and she'd raise her arms in the sky, and she'd shout, praise the Lord. Well, one day, an atheist moved into the house next door. And over time, he became rather irritated at the little old lady for doing this each and every day. So every morning, he would step out on his front porch and yell out after her, there is no God. Well, time passed with the two of them carrying on this way each day. Then one morning in the middle of winter, the little old lady stepped out on her front porch and she said, praise the Lord. Lord, I have no food and I am hungry. Please provide for me, O Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, the next morning, she stepped out onto her porch, and there were two huge bags of groceries sitting there. Praise the Lord, she cried out. He has provided groceries for me. The atheist jumped out from the hedges in her front yard, and he shouted, there is no Lord. I bought those groceries for you. The little old lady threw her arms into the air and she shouted, praise the Lord. He has provided me with groceries and he has made the devil pay for them. What could have been stressful and causing anxiety kept her turning to the Lord. I know it's just a fictitious story, but it illustrates truth for us. In the midst of our challenges that we face, the stuff that brings us stress, we can let them actually push us to our Heavenly Father and seek his peace in the midst of whatever it is that we are facing. Rather than worrying about all this stuff, Jesus invites us to trust in him, to trust in his Heavenly Father. God will take care of you. You need not worry about these things. Lean into God and all that he has to offer. Which, by the way, all that he has to offer, remember, is from creation to eternity. And he provides for us in ways that we cannot even begin to provide for. You can't put the earth here. You can't put the stars there. You can't cause yourself to live beyond eternity. You just have the body that you have. Your Heavenly Father is the one who provides all that stuff. And he'll take care of the other things, too. So why not trust him? The final question then really becomes, do we trust God to provide? Do you and I believe that God is good and that God will in fact take care of us? Clearly, Jesus doesn't mean that we can lay around all day and do nothing and try to abuse God's goodness and his provision and his grace. The birds and the flowers illustrate for us that. Okay, he says that they work. You know, even the flowers have some work going on there. So they're not idly waiting around. This is not an invitation to be lazy, but nonetheless, God is above it all. He is over it all. He's in the midst of it all. And ultimately, he is our provider, including providing what we cannot provide ourselves, a doorway into eternity. And so do we trust him not only for eternity, but for our daily needs as well, physical, relational, emotional, whatever other needs you want to throw in there? Do we trust that what we have is enough? Do we trust him enough to turn to him when stress and anxiety and worry start to creep in? Do we trust him to lead us in our relationships with others? Do we trust God enough to have peace with ourselves? You know, our statement this morning is that we have peace with God, with others in our lives, and with ourselves as well. It all begins with our peace with God, but it does extend there to these other facets of life, including our very selves. If we trust him that God will provide, there's no need to worry. One way to let your anxiety and your worry draw you or push you closer to God, quite frankly, is just coming to worship. I mean, being in community with others encourages us in our faith. It deepens our relationship with God. We're reminded of God's goodness and his grace, which sometimes, let's be honest, we lose sight of that sometimes in the midst of life during the week. We need these reminders in worship on Sundays about who God is and his goodness, and allow that, and during that, then maybe to reflect on the last week and think about things that are coming up and say, okay, I've got this stuff coming. It's going to be tough, but I know God is going to be with me in the midst of it. And to lean on him. So it grows there. It continues on. There are other ways, of course, as well. You know, God may work a miracle with you in the midst of worship service, like the fact that you stay awake throughout the whole sermon. Maybe there's a small miracle where God meets you, or he heals you, or he touches your life in some way. He opens your heart up into something that he's doing. He opens your eyes up to see how he is with you and been with you in the midst of some challenging thing you've gone through. Other ways, of course, as well, Sunday classes, midweek Bible studies in small groups, our own personal devotional time. I mean, there are different ways that God gets through to us to remind us that he has overcome the things that cause us stress and anxiety and worry, including death. You know, when I was younger, I didn't really, quite frankly, stress about that a whole lot. I'm only 46. Yeah, 46. I'm old enough, I got to do the math on my birth year to the year it is now. 46, and you know, and you start to think about these things more as you get older. We can find peace in the midst of all of that, including death, when we trust him. And so Jesus is calling us to trust him in all facets of life, because the one who gave you life and created everything seen and unseen is trustworthy. But you know what? You don't have to wait until life gets anxious. You don't have to wait until those moments when it gets stressful and anxious to turn to God. In fact, life has a lot less anxiety and much greater sense of peace when we turn to God in the beginning, we might say, instead of waiting until the end when all the stress and anxiety starts to pile up. Why go through life without a deep sense of peace when you don't have to? Let me give you an example. Let's say a person has a decision to make. And you could be thinking of your own. I'm going to create an example here. It could be any kind of decision, small or large. I'm going to go with a large one. Let's say that a family is in the market to buy a home. Mom and dad know their family's needs, but they know what they can afford. But as they shop for the house, they become tempted to buy the larger house, or that's in a little more prime location, or it's got more bells and whistles, and it costs more. And they end up buying that home, or maybe they build it from scratch and decide to go that route. Talk about stress-inducing, though, right? Like, build a house. If your marriage can survive that, you can survive anything. So they buy this house, and after living in it for a while, it becomes clear that the mortgage is stretching their finances too thin. Food can't be sacrificed. Clothes are needed. You know, you got to put food on the table for the kids and themselves and everybody else. The car needs repair. So what happens? They start to worry. And they get anxious. Shortcuts are taken where they can, such as in giving to God, or in so-called optional spending, such as vacations, date nights out, kids' programmings, and so forth. As a result, relationships become strained. Stress mounts in the marriage. They lose patience with their children. Starts to maybe impact their work relationship and other relationships that they have, because they just got this underlying stress and anxiety. And it leaks out into other facets of life. So they start to experience more and more of that. And we might say to them, well, they should trust God to provide. Isn't that just the cliche Christian answer? The fact is, it would have been much less stressful if they had trusted God at the start rather than at the end, that a smaller house or one without so many bells or whistles, one that fit their budget, would simply be sufficient. That God would take care of them and provide. And it would happen in a way that would bring a lot less stress into their lives at the end. Trusting God's provision at the beginning, whatever that beginning is, for whatever season of life you're in, whatever decision you're having to make and so forth, makes for a much greater sense of peace at the end. And if you want to know God at the end of your life and have peace there and on the other side of the grave, if you want peace about eternity as well as peace in the midst of this temporal life, Jesus invites us to begin trusting him now. There is no time like the present to begin or to deepen our trust in Jesus Christ. He is enough, as we just sang a few minutes ago. There is a peace that Jesus offers, and it passes all understanding. It's a peace that we cannot provide for ourselves. We've all tried, right? We've all tried to provide our own peace. It doesn't work so well. The peace that he gives is far beyond any sense of peace that we are able to provide for ourselves. And it spreads to our other relationships and impacts them, impacts how we view ourselves as well, as we live into that peace that Jesus offers. And you can have that peace starting today. And we continue to live into it and grow into it, and our anxiety and our worry then become catalysts to push us closer to God and to trust him more, to live into that peace and have peace with him. I want to invite you to join together in our statement of belief about the peace that God offers. Let's join together if you are so ready to say this with me. I am free from anxiety because I have found peace with God, peace with others, and peace with myself. Gracious and holy God, today, help us to know this peace deeply in our lives. Whatever is seeking to steal it from us right now, Lord, whether it's a financial thing, a relational thing, in the home, at work, a project going on that we're behind the eight ball on, health of loved ones, whatever it may be, Lord, may we seek you in the midst of it. May this stuff that seeks to cause anxiety and stress in our lives actually push us closer to you, to understanding more deeply the peace that passes understanding, to know that peace deeply in our lives, that we might trust you, that we would seek you and your kingdom first. So, Lord, this morning, speak a word of peace into us. Remind us of your love, your goodness, your grace, your provision of all that we need, both in this life and in the life to come. We pray in the peace-giving name of Jesus, and all of God's children said together, amen.